this is Patsy with a Z, and I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper Kim Dower, the author of a new book of poetry called I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. It is always so wonderful to talk to Kim. She is known as Kim from L.A., a famous publicist out there in Hollywood land. For me, I always think of her as a poet, because not only was she the City Poet Laureate of West Hollywood, she fills my life with poetry. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Patsy. How are you today? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, yeah, and it's really early over there.
It is, but we're awake.
That's it. Well, I'm holding this lovely book in my hand. It's pink, and it's got a nice little cover. And as I said, the name of the book is I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. I was very touched when I got the book and read it. Let's talk about why you wrote this book and about the dedication. And I hope that you're planning to read some of these great poems for me, because there are so many that I love.
Oh, thank you, Patsy. You know, this is a true labor of love. This book is a culmination of many years of the poems I've written about being a mother and having a mother. And they're poems that I hope and believe that many people can connect with and relate to. And it's coming up for Mother's Day, so my vision was to have a book that we could have for Mother's Day, for ourselves, for our mothers, for our daughters, that would be able to connect us to the experience that so many of us have had.
It certainly does. I have been talking lately about how to become a better writer. One of the ways to become a better writer is to read poetry, because it is always so amazing to me how you can take any subject and write a poem that is remarkable, that reminds people of events or opens their eyes, whether it's writing about sardines, whatever. It's just, I just love your work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I try to, when I sit down to write a poem, I don't say it's going to be about this or this will happen. A lot of the things in my poems are surprises, even to myself. I don't see them coming. And that's the joy of poetry. You know, your joy on paper, it's my joy on paper, is the surprise that happens while a poem is being written. Sometimes it feels like they come through me. You know, that's what Anne Sexton used to say, that the poems came through her from God. And, you know, I'm not a religious person, and yet I understand that feeling of the poem suddenly going through me.
Well, I felt that the first time I read your book, Sunbathing on Tyrone Power's Grave, as I was reading that, I was so moved by how you captured moments in time, simple moments in time, and touched my soul with them. And that's why I know that it won the 2020 Independent Publishers Book Award, and it deserved it because it is wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a great honor, very exciting. And yeah, when my poems touch people and they tell me about it, or they had the same experience, or they were moved, that's my greatest moment in life. Really, to be able to touch people with the work is a great thing. So I'm so happy that you've been moved by my poems.
Well, let's start. I hope that you've selected the ones that you want to read. What do you want to start with?
Well, you know, I thought I'd read the title poem, I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. And we're coming up on the big holiday weekend, Passover on Saturday, and we've got Easter Sunday on Sunday. And this is a poem about those holidays.
Okay.
I wore this dress today for you, Mom. Breezy, floral, dancing with color. Soft, silky, flows as I walk. Easter Sunday, and you always liked to get dressed, go for brunch. Maybe there's a good movie playing somewhere. Wrong religion. We were not churchgoers, but New Yorkers who understood the value of a parade down Fifth Avenue, bonnets in lavender, powder blues, pinks, hues of spring, the hope it would bring. We had no religion, but we did have noodle kugel, grandparents, dads who could fix fans, reach the china on the top shelf, carve the turkey. That time has passed. You were the last to go, Mom, and I still feel bad I never got dressed up for you like you wanted me to. I had things to do. But today in L.A., hot, the way you liked it, those little birds you loved to see flitting from tree to tree, just saw one, a twig in its mouth, preparing a bed for its baby, might still be an egg. I wish you were here. I've got a closet filled with dresses I need to show you.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes, and I'm always so moved by your poetry. Just one page, you say so much, and you paint a picture, which is what a true artist does.
Mm. Well, thank you. We all have our memories of these holidays, and particularly things we wished we had done for our mothers. And, you know, when they pass, a lot of those memories come back very strong, and we see them differently. We are able to look at our lives differently when those people we love have died. It's an interesting thing what happens. The relationship can continue in a different way.
I always love that song, In Your Easter Bonnet.
Yeah.
It's just the minute, of course, I read this poem, that came to my head, and I love the image of it and how you recreated it with just a few lines.
Well, thank you. Is there a poem that you wanted me to read? I mean, I can choose another, but I'm wondering if there's something that you'd like me to read?
You select the next one, too. You've probably been thinking about it.
I'll read a poem. You know, this book has poems a lot, also about my grandmother, who I called Nana, and she was extremely important in my life, and it's interesting to see how my mother related to her mother and her mother to me. You know, it's a beautiful thing, the grandmother, the mother, and the child. And this is in her honor and in honor of all people in Ukraine. My grandmother came from Russia, which was then called Russia, now Ukraine. And this is for Nana. It's called Dubonnet. My grandmother would sip a juice glass of Dubonnet, dark purplish color, red, the color of her identical twin sister's lips, the one who stayed behind in Russia. Every night as she prepared the roast, Mike Douglas blasting on the television, my grandfather snoring, the apartment a swirl of garlic, chicken fat, boiled secrets, longing flooding the rooms like sunlight. Once she offered me a taste. Some people like it with a twist of lemon, but I like it plain. I was 7. My tongue burned through the sweetness. I floated into the next room without moving. I would dress up in her black cloth cape, sequined ladybug pin, clump around in her tiny pumps. She was the size of Thumbelina. I remember the warm baths, splashes of Jean Nate, the pink Chanel bathrobe, photo of them as girls, hanging in the dark hallway. My grandmother told me her name just once, Tanya. This identical her, living on the other side of the world, another Nana, saying goodnight to another me.
Oh, one of the things right now we are all thinking about the Ukraine so much. It's so strange. You know, most people didn't even know where it was. Now that we hear about it and we see these pictures, I would imagine that a poet's mind just goes wild with images.
Yeah, especially, you know, all my ancestors come from that part of the world, and probably some of them are there. I don't know them, but it certainly connects us all in a very tragic way. So, yeah, so, you know, I'll read another poem that's not so sad.
Yeah, let's do it.
I get a lot of my ideas from headlines in the news, actually. We hear about prompts that poets use, and there are prompts that come from just my own emotions. You know, like, I wore this dress today for you, Mom, was very much from my heart, and Dubonnet was a tribute to my grandmother. But there are poems that come, I'll read a headline, and I'll think, oh my goodness, I have to write this poem. So I used to love James Garner. I don't know if your listeners will remember him, but he was a big favorite of mine. And one day I opened the Los Angeles Times and there was a big headline that James Garner had died. So I wrote a tribute called Goodbye to James Garner. Fans loved him as Rockford, Maverick, a man's man, had your back, cool, did the right thing. I loved him for being Doris Day's husband in a movie I cut class to see. Fifth grade, played at the Riviera, only old men and me during the day. I went alone, told no one, but I had a gigantic crush on him. He was an OB-GYN. She was a mom. Marriage in jeopardy. Couples in movies stayed together in the 60s. While out there, it was all falling apart. Women poised to flip their lives, months away from marching into a world of miniskirts, riots, shame, pillbox hats, flinging our boxy pink suit jackets and pumps into the sunset. Not even James Garner could have saved us. And this week, now more unrest, more wars unfolding, I'm stuck on the headline, James Garner dead. When I was 10, I needed a man I could count on, even one holding aces and eights.
Oh, I love that poem. That was one of the ones actually I was going to select because, well, I've always thought of him as with this strength, and I was really happy when I read it. When you conjure up these names, Tyrone Power, it brought so many memories of all the films over the years that I had seen him. And so it was just the images that poetry can bring to mind are so amazing, aren't they?
They are amazing. You know, listen, this is the beauty of a good poem, that it makes you see things in a way that you haven't seen them. I mean, a lot of poets write about nothing. It's just what we see at that moment. It's like taking a minute and stretching it out and putting whatever we can into that moment. It's something nobody really takes the time to do. And writing poems and reading them helps us to see this really in action, you know.
I enjoyed poetry since I was young. People read poetry out loud to each other, which I think is so wonderful. And I continued that, actually, with my husband. My husband didn't really know any poetry when I met him, English poetry. So one of the things that I did is I made a point of reading out loud these poems to him, famous poems. And he was always so thrilled with it and loved the sound of how I would, you know, be dramatic at points. I think more and more people should do that. Just turn off the streaming, all those little squares that don't do anything for your mind, and read poetry to each other. It's really amazing how much fun you get out of it.
Absolutely. And you need to read a poem aloud, because it's, you hear the music when you read it aloud, and it feels great, you know, on your lips and in your mouth to read a poem. It really makes a huge difference from reading it just on the page to reading it aloud.
Now, when you were the City Poet Laureate, and I think that lasted for a couple of years, right?
2 wonderful years, yes.
So did that give you an opportunity to get out there and read poetry to people?
Yeah, you know, I was responsible for putting together a lot of different events and celebrations and projects. And we had some wonderful events with poets from, you know, around the city. And it also gave me an opportunity to go into the schools and work with 4th and 5th graders, which is extraordinary. The kinds of things that they write are just amazing because they're not afraid. And they have beautiful imaginations. And you just give them a prompt and let them take off, and the things they come up with are remarkable. So I had a chance to work with young children. We put a great event together about Route 66, because, you know, Route 66 runs through Santa Monica Boulevard out here, right through West Hollywood. And so we had a big celebration of poets who grew up here writing about the Sunset Strip and Route 66 and a lot of wonderful events.
With children, if you just give them a piece of paper and let them run wild, it is so much fun. I used to do that at Sunday school. I think that what you did here working with children was fantastic.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And, you know, I think about it a lot. And I think, you know, I love teaching. I teach a workshop for UCLA Extension, a writing workshop, and I teach one for Antioch University, and I teach one for the LGBT Hollywood Community Center out here. And teaching adults is great. It's really not teaching them. We're really collaborating during that time, reading poems and talking about them, and I love it. But there's something about working with children that sparks so much energy. I would like to do it again. You know, I really would.
I don't have much more time, but let me pick one now. How about, I like the idea of writing about something that's an everyday event, like everybody loves dinner. Will you do that one for me?
Of course. Everybody loves dinner. When I walk into my mother's house, I see a pot on the stove, high flame, charring the sides. She thinks she's boiling water. But the water has evaporated, like a ghost fleeing the scene, leaving the bottom scalded, a blackness that cannot be reversed. It was only a matter of months. You see, she was very careful in the kitchen, taught me the same. Check the pilot lights, smell for gas, unclutter the space where you cook. Simple things like this she taught me. So last week, when I visited, when I saw the blue flame hugging the sides of that old pot, sitting too close to the Kleenex I'd handed her, sobbing as she watched TV, so much violence. Was it always like this? Sit down, darling. Let's eat. Everybody loves dinner. But there was no food. Nothing there to cook. I hadn't brought a thing. What was I thinking? But we smiled, held hands. I changed the channel. She told me she felt full and was ready for bed.
That poem says so much. It just, you know, as we lose people and as they sometimes lose moments in their life, when you read this poem, it puts it into perspective, and I think people will be moved by it and will think for themselves, am I doing enough? Am I bringing that dinner? Am I there for them? All of the poetry in your book, I think, is wonderful. It's called "I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom." And Kim, I'm always so impressed with you. I want one day for you to come back and let's talk with your other hat on, not with your Easter bonnet. This one, I imagine you in your Easter bonnet. And twirling around.
Well, Patsy, it's always great to talk with you. And thank you for having me read my poems, some of them. And I really appreciate that. And I hope people get joy from poetry. There are so many great poets to read. So,
well, they should start with you if they're not into poetry. This is a good way to start because the poems will touch your heart and make you think and you will not forget them. It's funny, for years after you read this book, if you look at your pot on the stove, you're going to think about this. So I think you've done a great job with this book. Where can people read more about you and find out more about you?
Well, you can look at my website, which is just www.kimdowerpoetry.com. And, of course, it's on Amazon, but it should also be in people's local independent bookstores. So just enjoy. There's a lot of my poems on my website that people can read.
That's wonderful, Kim. And again, as I said, we'll have you back, and then you're going to wear your other hat. I don't know what hat you will wear for talking about Kim from L.A. and your publicity business, because you are so wonderful and so famous in the publicity world. Everybody knows you. I would love you to explain to my listeners some background and information about publicity, okay?
Absolutely. Anytime, Patsy. You know where to call me.
Okay.
And if you need a poem, just email me and I'll send you one. How's that?
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Kim Dower, it's a perfect book for Mother's Day. It's a perfect book all year round. Thank you again, Kim.
Thanks so much, Patsy.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye.